Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the match preview show. It is Sparta Prague versus Liverpool in the Europa League last 16. Here to talk about it with me, Steve Hall. We've got Jamie Cranford and Dan Club. Yes, Liverpool kick off their last 16 tie at 5:45 UK time tomorrow afternoon. Obviously, Jürgen's press conference, Jay, is this afternoon when they get to Prague. There's an open training session a little bit later on today. It's weird, really, because a lot of the talk around this game, probably more so from the fan base, I think, than the actual football team and the players, has all been, well, City on Sunday is the game.
Yeah.
And this is almost like an inconvenience to the game. How do you think Liverpool are approaching this? Because there are two legs. There is the biggest game of the season, potentially, on Sunday as well. What do you think the thought process is? Is it go to Prague, rest a few, come back with whatever result you come back with, get the job done at Anfield because City is so important? Or is it, you know, just next game up, play our best team, win it, and then we'll worry about City on Friday?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because it seems like the last few months, every game or every two games, we'll get a new injury. Someone will go down with something and back, you know, Tsimikas back in the day. Recently, it was Gravenberg, Salah. Well, Salah didn't actually get injured in the Brentford game, but you know what I mean. Jota goes out then, Salah comes in for him, scores, then he's out, all of this. So there'll be people, I don't think there's anyone who's saying playing absolutely like kid, you know, like you're playing Scunthorpe in the FA Cup third round. I don't think there's people saying you want to play that sort of team, but I think there'll probably be a bit of a mix and match. I think I wouldn't mind seeing it. I know we'll probably go on to talk about a lineup, but someone like Szoboszlai needs minutes. I think there could be a mix of some of these younger players who served us so well over the last few weeks, and maybe even a Virgil, someone like that, saying go again, maybe do 60. I don't think Jürgen's going to play a completely young team, but I don't think he's going to play a full strength team either, given that the game that we've got on Sunday.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the team news in a bit, like you said, Jay. Dan, Liverpool earned the right to be away from home first and back at Anfield second by winning the group. Obviously, Sparta Prague had to come through the qualifier, which they did in the end, obviously beating Galatasaray at home. But they did batter Galatasaray. They beat Galatasaray 4-1 at home. They're a team who are used to winning. They'd won pretty much every game. Again, that Galatasaray won over two legs where they lost the reverse leg aside. Until the weekend, they drew 0-0 with Slavia Prague. They are a team who wins pretty much every time they play, especially at home. Liverpool can't afford to send the reserves over because I understand being at Anfield second leg gives you an advantage, but you still need to be in the tie. And it feels like, I don't know, probably going to be a decent atmosphere against a team who are used to winning. It's no walk in the park, nor should the last 16 of a European competition be.
No, don't take them lightly at your peril, I think would be the warning this week. Absolutely. Yeah, and Liverpool, you know, for all intents and purposes, regardless of what you think of Anfield, and Anfield, as we well know, is capable of miracles, certainly in European nights, and that is a nice buffer to fall back on. And I think the way I'm looking at it is you might not be able to blow them out of the water in this first leg, but as you say, be in the tie, win the game 1-0, even a draw potentially at home.
Even just a goal lost.
Exactly. But the last thing you want to be doing is chasing the tie in the second leg. If you do go get beat 2-0 away from home, then you've got to come back, and that's a real turnaround then. And it's just making life difficult for yourself. And we're all talking about like the fitness issues we've had and the injury problems we've had. There's a flip reverse in this. I think you could potentially earn the right to rest a few players in the last half an hour of the second leg at Anfield if you get the tie nice and sewn up. And like I say, the last thing you want to be doing is having to go hell for leather in the second leg when you've already ran yourself into the ground over the past 3 or 4 weeks. You've got lads coming back from injury. injuries and stuff like that. So I think a relatively balanced approach to both legs would be the way I'd go about it. And as Jay refers to there, I think a mixture of youth and experience. But also, I'm looking at this game as a bit of an opportunity because there's a few lads who probably need minutes heading into the weekend. Yeah. So it's actually, you mentioned it could be an inconvenience, and I get that. But I think there is a positive spin on that as well, whereby you might need some minutes to get some lads up to speed, because Szoboszlai, you mentioned, came back, didn't really look ready in terms of match sharpness. So that's a real plus for me. But yeah, in terms of the tie overall, you don't want to be out of it. You don't want to be having to perform a miracle at Anfield in a week's time. That's the last thing you need.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone knows as well. Obviously, the second leg at home is just a few days before the Man United game in the Cup. But it almost feels, Jade, to go, and we'll touch on the team now. Whoever he wants to start against Manchester City, I think that has to be the starting point of every discussion. And then you work back from that of, does he need minutes before he plays Manchester City? Is he better off being rested before he plays Manchester City?
Yeah.
Can we afford to risk him now? Because we are desperate for him to play against Manchester City. These are all probably conversations. And listen, I understand it's Sparta Prague. It's a massive game for the Europa League. But I think we'd all agree the chance to go 4 points clear of Manchester City on Sunday has to take preference. I wonder if Jürgen, he would never admit this, but like, right, that's me 11 out of one on the pitch against Man City. How do I make sure all of those on Sunday are 100%? He needs minutes, he needs a rest, he needs an hour. He could do half an hour and go back from that. Do you think that could be what Jürgen and Pep and the coaching staff are, they're the kind of discussions they're having today?
Yeah, I think that's quite a good way of picking the team of, we don't know what Salah's going to be like. He might be able to come on for half an hour at the end. You'd like, I mean, he came off the bench against Brentford and just scored straight away. So maybe, you know, maybe they don't want to risk him and then he starts against City. Maybe he could only do 20 minutes against City as a break glass option. We don't know what the situation's going to be.
Yeah.
There's going to be this combination of people like Harvey Elliott. He's played a lot of minutes in a row. You know, Gakpo's been playing a lot. Like, if they're going to be starting on Sunday, I don't know if either of them are. Do they come out? Or it's a bit of a tricky one for the manager, but I think he needs to, yeah, if he can work backwards from this person needs a rest. So I think there's going to be, you know, let's not forget he's got five subs. And you've got the likes of Joe Gomez can play in numerous positions. You've seen there's a lot of versatility within that squad. You've even seen Bradley playing at right wing in the final. You know, whatever he does, when he kind of moves his chess pieces, he can move potentially three or four different players, get some fitness into some people that need it. Some people, I mean, there'll be people saying Virgil shouldn't be anywhere near this because what if someone breaks his leg after 2 minutes, and that could happen. But then also there's other people to think about. So there might be like someone like Virgil might play and then come off at half time or come off on 60 or something like that. So it's a complicated one anyway. I'm glad I don't have to pick it.
We have seen him as well, Dan. We might as well start looking at the team. I know there was a mad Keith Kelleher rumour going around yesterday. You know, we'll ignore that.
Just seems to be one person.
Yeah,
Kelleher's injured.
Social media.
Mad and retracted quite quickly.
So hopefully that's not the case. But again, we'll find out in due course if it is. There are certain positions in the squad where he does have a few options, mainly at the back.
Yeah,
you know, he's got Robertson and Tsimikas at left back, and even Joe Gomez if he wants it. He's got Bradley and Gomez as right back options. Centre back, he's got all, you know, he's got four effectively, depending on what you class Joe Gomez in the situation as well. You're looking to midfield, there are a couple more at back up front. At least he's got four, maybe five if Salah's back. I'm including Harvey Elliott as an option there, of course. The manager does have the option to change a couple of things as well. So, you know, in terms of rest, rotation, keeping players fresh, we've seen him in Europe do the 45-minute sub with the centre-backs, things like that. Like, he has got a lot of options. Well, he hasn't got as many as he'd like, of course. The pull of injury list is massive still. But it feels like there's maybe a little bit more wiggle room in the squad than perhaps there was 2 or 3 weeks ago, when it was, you know, that Southampton game or the final when his bench was children and that's all he had.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a little bit more wiggle room there now.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to have to be clever with what he does, and it's going to have to be a long, thought-out process, as you mentioned, with Pep Linders, the rest of the coaching staff. I think the sports science team will be on board with all this as well. It's going to be a lot of in-depth conversations going on about what lads are capable of getting, and so there's a balance and act in terms of, obviously, the fitness of people and also winning both of these games, essentially, because I think in an ideal world, you would win both of them, of course, and that makes next week a lot easier, I think it's fair to say. But yeah, it's not easy. It's far from easy. I think subs are going to play a huge part in it as well. I think the use of the bench is going to be really, really pivotal in this, not just in terms of how the game and how the direction of travel and the actual results will go, but in terms of the minutes and getting rest into some legs and getting a bit of sharpness into others. It's going to be absolutely crucial. But yeah, in terms of options, there's definitely more, and it definitely looks ever so slightly healthier. And I think the emergence, and not just the emergence, but the performances of the academy lads, I know we've spent a lot of time speaking about that in recent weeks, so I don't want us to go too into detail now, but that has made the situation easier. Because like Sir Bobby Clark, all of a sudden, in what you're talking about there, midfield options, he's one of them now. Yeah. Had he come into the side and not looked ready or not quite looked up to it, he's removed himself from that equation. But that isn't the case, because he looked fine, started his first Premier League game on the weekend, not out of place whatsoever. So all of a sudden, he's a viable option for this game. Likewise, Jadon Dans, maybe not quite ready for a start yet, but if you need to get 20 minutes rest into Cody Gakpo or Darwin Nunez or whatever, Dans is fine for that. So these lads who've come into the side and done so, so well have made life and made this selection headache ever so slightly easier for Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fine balance, because there is a game to be won. That's the most important thing. To go back to it, Jay, Sparta Prague are in the last 16, because they got out the group, they got through a qualifier, they're top of the Czech league by a couple of, I think it's 4 points. They're a team who used to win. Liverpool saw this a couple of times. You know, you go abroad against teams who are just constantly used to winning football games all the time. You know, it's one, you know, you saw their players celebrating like mad when they got the draw.
Yeah.
It's a huge occasion for them. We've seen, and every time Liverpool have played away in Europe this season, they went to LASK, they went to Toulouse, they went to Union. Bear in mind, I understand the Union game was a dead rubber at that point, but teams have lifted their game against Liverpool at home in Europe. It's a huge occasion. Like Liverpool, when the manager's picking his team, he has to bear that in mind as well. Like, it's all well and good, you know, saying play him, and him. But like, it's going to be a little bit of a bit of a cauldron as well. You know, the mentality's got to be spot on as well with whoever he selects.
Yeah, I think I liked that clip of them celebrating. I mean, because it's nice that they're looking forward to the game. But you've seen clips of draws. I mean, was one of them, there was an England draw where someone were like that, wasn't it? And it was like, you've seen draws where teams have picked a team and it goes to the club representative and it's like, oh, that's us out. But there was none of that from them. They're going to be right up for it. They've just knocked Galatasaray out in the playoff round, who, I mean, they beat Man United, whether that's a massive achievement or not, you know. But Galatasaray have had a decent season in Europe, so they're obviously no mugs. I can see it, like you were saying, those other away games. I can see heads falling off, and I don't want heads to fall off, because I can see it being a stodgy game. I can see Liverpool not getting much going. You know, I could see them scoring, maybe, you know, a 1-1. Is fine as far as I'm concerned. I know there's no away goals rule anymore, or, you know, if we're not absolutely flying, battering them 3-0 after half time, then I don't think, you know, people should keep a bit of perspective about it, because the priority is having everybody ready for Sunday, without meaning to disrespect Sparta Prague. And as you say, with having the Anfield second leg, I know we don't want to have a Barcelona scenario where we're all, you know, where it's absolutely desperation. But even if we were one goal down, you'd like to think we could overturn that in the second leg at home. But I can see it being a bit of a bitty game. I can see Liverpool not being that good, and I can see it not being that much of a good game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So join us for the watch along.
I was going to say, it has been tough sledding. It's worth mentioning, right? It took them 99 minutes to beat Nottingham Forest the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it does feel like the tank is empty on a few. The manager, I can see him, Dan, changing things up where he can. So let's look at the team news then. For example, I'd be shocked if Tsimikas doesn't play at left back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, given, obviously, that the manager the other day started with Andy Robbo, he goes off, Joe Gomez ends up playing left back. It just feels like this game is primed for fit and firing 100%. Kostas hasn't played a lot. He's had an injury himself. He's only recently come back from it. He's actually one of the few members of the squad who are fully fit, but also isn't really in need of any minutes rest because of the shoulder injury which he had. So it feels like left back should be him.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, 100%, because he hasn't had loads of minutes. He's kind of reverted back to his old, or his more natural role, if you like, when Robertson is fit and fine.
But he had loads of minutes while Robert was out.
Now Robert's come back, he's just gone back into being that, he'll drop into the game sort of 15, 20 minutes ago or whatever. So yeah, I think Tsimikas is an absolute shoe-in for this one. And ultimately, that's, with all due respect, that's kind of what he's there for, these types of fixtures. And certainly in the Europa League, we've seen Liverpool use their squad brilliantly well, and it stood us in relatively good stead in terms of fitness and getting minutes into legs so far this campaign. So I don't see that changing with Tsimikas. I think he is absolutely nailed on to start at left back, and again, very, very useful option. You know, we're very assured with him at left back. He's a very safe pair of hands, I think it's fair to say. And just to touch on Prague there, like, it does change the dynamic ever so slightly when they are so used to winning. They will definitely try and have a go at home because they're going to need to. They're going to know what the second leg at Anfield means. They're going to try if they can to put a bit of clear daylight between us and them in this fixture. But I spoke to Patrick Berger this week, obviously, about them and the way they go about their business, and they are a football playing side, I think it's fair to say. And I just think that plays into our hands. If they are going to be on the front foot and try and lay gloves on us early doors, Liverpool should benefit from that, I'd say. So I get what you're saying, Jay, in terms of it might be a bit of a bitty game and Liverpool might not be at full flight, full tilt, but the way Prague go about their approach might actually play into our hands. It's when teams sit deep, you mentioned Nottingham Forest, it's when teams sit deep and make life difficult for Liverpool that we tend to struggle. But Prague are going to know this could be their chance. This 90 odd minutes could be their opportunity to really go somewhere in this tie. So if they do try and get at us, that just plays into our hands completely for me.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of centre back options, Jay, Quanta starts?
Yeah, definitely for me. Yeah, I would start Van Dijk. And has he been taking them off at half time?
He did in the FA Cup Southampton game.
I would start Van Dijk because I think Virgil, I think nobody's worried about any hangovers of the knee injury now. I mean, this is possibly being his best season. I was going to say in his peak season, he's back to his peak, but you know, three or four years ago, he was going all the time. He was playing every 3-4 days. You weren't worried about him. He's Mr. Reliable. He's your captain. He's there for you. So I'd start him and take him off at half time or on 60 or something like that.
I agree.
I'd maybe like to not play Canate at all. I don't know. Maybe swap Gomez in. I don't know. But if Canate has to come off the bench, then that's fine by me. So those two to start for me, and then Tsimikas, and then it's probably going to be Bradley, I guess, isn't it? A right back. Well, you could put Gomez there.
I think it'd be Gomez.
Gomez.
And Bradley starts the weekend.
Yeah.
It's whether you need, does Bradley need 20 minutes or does he need a night off? Because then you could go Gomez to shift.
He looked tired.
Yeah, I agree.
Against Nottingham.
But the 20 minutes just keep him ticking over, potentially. You know what I mean? If you say Gomez off.
But again, it might depend what the manager's plans are for City. If his plans are Phil Foden's Manchester City's threat, he might be playing on that left. I know he's played a lot on the right, but depends where what they're going to do with him. Obviously, on the other side, if it's Doku, for example. Do we want Joe Gomez at right back, in which case Conor Bradley plays? A lot of it might depend on what his plans are for City down there.
What I would say on that is just looking at ever so slightly ahead to the City game in terms of that preview is I think you're best served pushing Doku back the other way, which would be Conor Bradley then, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? Give him something to worry about and get him facing his own goal, which would be nice. But yeah, you're right. It completely hinges on the Man City game, because as much as we'll sit here and say we're doing a Sparta Prague preview, but how important this game is, that you're right. Everything's going to have one eye on that weekend game 100%. So I would be Joe Gomez at right back. And again, he gives you that versatility of where he can drop into, he can even drop into the six now, we've seen, if you need him to. But he can go into centre back if you do need. And I would probably err on the side of giving Conor Bradley sort of the last 20 minutes, half an hour, just to keep him ticking over.
Cool. I was wondering if he was going to start Gomez in the six and maybe do a half or 60 minutes or something like that.
He has got Endo back now.
Yeah.
And he's got McAllister.
So there's more options there. Yeah. But Endo,
he's got McConnell as well.
Yeah, true.
You might not want to play James McConnell in Forest at home in the league, but in a two-legged tie, I know it's difficult away in Europe, but it might be one where you go, well, we can give James McConnell an hour. What's the way?
Tyler Morton in a similar vein, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Before,
so whatever happens, unless we get batter seven, then we'll get back to Anfield and we'll be in the game. I wouldn't be shocked if it's McConnell as a six, but
I'd be amazed if we didn't see Endo I'll say that with Tyler Wendo in some capacity, whether that be from the start or to finish the game.
He was great when he came on the other day.
He was great, and he only came on the other day, is the point, really. Yeah, and he missed off. The Southampton game completely, so yeah. I'd be amazed if we didn't see with Tyler Wendo, because he definitely feels like one who clearly has fully recovered from that knock he got in the final, which is nice, but he probably does need some minutes, I'd say, heading into the weekend, so he's got to play in some capacity. I actually had him starting the game and doing a bit of a 60-30 thing with someone like McConnell.
Okay, cool.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
In front of him, the options, McAllister's around, of course, you've got Harvey Elliott, Bobby Clark started the other day, Szoboszlai's now back, he came off the bench the other day, Jay. It feels maybe this isn't the one for Dom to start. It was like he probably needs one more bench appearance before he's primed to go for City. But
yeah.
Elliott's played a lot. Bobby Clark did nothing wrong the other day. McAllister, again, unbelievable. It's whether, again, he decides he needs a little bit of a break because he's played a lot of football recently. What do you think he's going to do in front of the DM?
I think Clark will start because I don't think any of us expect him to start on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree.
Then it's getting complicated because I think Szoboszlai needs minutes. I was thinking maybe start him, bring him off at half time or on 60, but then we're bringing about 8 players off at half time at this rate, aren't we? It probably would make more sense to bring him on actually, Szoboszlai. So then I'd think, well, I'd like Elliott there, but then who are you playing on the right hand side? You know, then there's a knock on effect of that, then, isn't there? I think Clark will start. I think Elliott will start and come off. I think he's been kind of
in midfield or on the right wing.
I can't make my mind up. Maybe in midfield. I would probably start him in midfield, but then Elliott, the last, after that Luton game, I was there the other week, he was like flat on his back. After the final, he's done 120 minutes flat on his back. He has gone a lot. I don't know. There's so many permutations.
By the way, James McConnell's an option. He plays at 80 for day.
Yeah, he has done that. Yeah,
he's looked good. He looked good against Norwich the other month, and
he's against Southampton.
Yeah, against Southampton.
He's a six by trade, James McConnell. But you're right; he has played the eight for the first team in particular. I'm McAllister, Szoboszlai, 60-30 in that order. McAllister gets 60, Szoboszlai gets 30.
I think McAllister probably. Yeah, it wouldn't be a shock. And then up front, it's where the option, of course. Is the balance between looking after players, Dan, and getting minutes into legs. It feels like it's probably too early for Darwin to start.
Yep.
Because he has to start on Sunday. That has to be the priority with him. So then he's got Gakpo, Elliott, Diaz again.
Yep.
I think that's what
I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, 100%. Yeah, then you've got Nunes to replace one of Gakpo and Diaz, probably Diaz.
And then we'll see where we're at with Mo Salah.
And then I think, well, I'm in my mind giving Mo Salah the last 15-20
we don't know yet if he's available.
Well,
if he is, then
we think he trained yesterday. Someone said last night he trained yesterday, so all being well, we'll find that a bit more this afternoon, obviously, as you know. But yeah, in the ideal scenario, I'm heading into this sort of, you know, rose into glasses a little bit. Salah travels to Prague this week and gets 20 minutes from the bench to replace Harvey Elliott because Harvey Elliott needs that rest.
Would you say we're 3-0 up at half time, would you still bring Nunez off the bench or would you bring Dans on? Or
I don't think Nunes needs the minutes because he's had a lot of training. I think Salah probably needs the minutes.
Yeah.
I think no matter what the score is, whether you're winning seven or you're down four, I think you're just, I think Salah has like 15, 20 minutes in his legs. Just to prove he can go against City, because the last thing Liverpool need is to start him against City and he goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it, and I hope he is, I hope he's 100%, but that's a big risk. I think you need to know, is he good? I'm hoping that they've been extra cautious with him. You know, he was legging it around town in an advert last week. So he must be all right. But
yeah. I think they've been extra cautious.
There's a massive question. Obviously, I don't think Nunes quite. I don't know. He looked sharp enough the other day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like from when he come on, it's whether he just needs 90 minutes in his legs. Now again, if you're chasing the game, I mean, what a sub on that! What a sub with half an hour to go to bring the two best goal scorers at the moment who are fit and available on.
Yeah.
Which is a big boat boost to Liverpool because you gotta be half sensible with them as well. Flopped out, nice name, says the thing about Salah is he always hits the ground running after injury. He tends to. I mean, if any really gets injured, but you're all right, he doesn't usually look like someone who needs time to get up to speed. Dan, someone like I always think like a Joe Gomez or a Keith Kelleher need a few games before they settle in. Salah just seems to come back and just be Salah.
Yeah, he does. And that's testament to the quality of the man, isn't it, ultimately? You know what I mean? But as you mentioned, fortunately, touch wood, he hasn't been injured much during his Liverpool career. But even when he's had breaks because he's been away on international duty or whatever, he tends to look as sharp as he ever does when he comes back into side. He certainly did at Brentford the other week, and obviously it's a shame whatever happened, the re-aggravation of that injury, as it looks like now. But yeah, I've got no major concerns about Salah, even if he wasn't a feature at Prague and he was just be dropped into City game. He'd be like, okay, clearly he's ready. They have been overcautious. I think they've been cautious with Szoboszlai this time, Darwin Nunes likewise. So yeah, no real worries about Salah ahead of the weekend. However, I think the preference would be for myself, and definitely sort of the sports science side of things, would be to get him 15, 20 minutes into his legs before the weekend.
The only other option, I know you touched on Jadon Dans before, Dan, there is Lewis Kumas on the left is an option, Jay, because it's been brought up here by Real Regulation Records in the chat. Nice one, mate. Kumas left is an option. Diaz has played a lot. In lieu of Salah and Nunes and Jota being out, it's been a lot of Diaz and Gakpo carrying the can, and they both look tired.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I thought Gakpo the other day looked a little bit leggy. I thought Diaz was good as well, but he looked a little bit leggy. There might be a case of, you know what, save yous for Sunday. There is a world where he goes, I don't know, Kumas, Gakpo, Elliott, for example. And then on your bench, you might have Nunes, Diaz, Salah, which is, what a triple sub that could be at some point in the game. I think we have to discuss that, in that Diaz has played a lot and he very rarely shows the effects, but he did look a bit leggy.
He has, although if you've seen all the videos of his dad recently dancing and getting up to all sorts, if there's looks like they're a family with a lot of stamina.
Yeah, if he's got his dad's energy levels,
who's
dad?
Lewis is sorry.
Oh, he's everywhere. I'm surprised you've
there's all these videos of like
Lewis Diaz
him on stage.
Oh, Diaz. I thought when Jason Kumas was in the bed fell off. Sorry, Lewis Diaz.
I'm sure Jason Kumas can
reasonable
dance
amount of stamina.
Doesn't seem to feel like a type to me. Louis Diaz's dad loves it. Yeah,
I love the gloves.
Short sleeves and gloves. Which one is it, mate?
Little dad and lad. That's nice, isn't it? It's quite cute. I think starting Kumas, you might say we won 4-0 and you might start him in the second leg, you know, something like that. I think he was right to start him against Southampton. I think for a game, a game of this level,
it's a big step.
It's a big one. He hit the ground running. He did well. He got his goal the other day, so you can't say fairer than that. But I don't think I wouldn't be starting him. Maybe bring him off the bench if it's going really well. Then he could come on. We are making 9 subs here, aren't we? Everyone does it, but that's a stupid thing. Is there's a case to bring everyone off on 60? Because like, he could do the rest, and he could do.
Jäger always does this, Jay. Where sometimes he does have what you call them sports science subs. But he probably had sports science subs against Brentford and in his head. Yeah. And two lads get crocked in the first half. The best laid plans and all that. You know, you've got to be careful. If you start someone, there's a very, you know, you've got to be very careful because you might not be able to get them all off. You know, because it only takes one or two little injuries or something goes wrong, and all of a sudden you're saying to Mo Salah, play longer than you meant to, and that's exactly what happened against Brentford, and he's out. Like, the manager's got there's a balance and act here, isn't there? He's got to walk that tightrope with.
I think these will be some of the most pre-planned subs of the season. of like, doesn't matter what the game state is, he's coming off online, he's getting his freshness, he's doing this. But as you say, you know, 5 minutes in, someone could go in for a 50-50 and end up having to come off. And it's like, so then you've got to kind of, but I don't think, even, I don't know, maybe if we were, say, 2-0 down, would he say, right, scrap my plan, sub, Dan's, you're not coming on, Mo's coming, I don't know.
I don't think there's a realistic scoreline that he's not comfortable taking back to Anfield.
Yeah.
I mean, if he battered us like four, then that's a problem. But yeah. That might be if Liverpool don't perform, of course, but it's hard to see a scoreline what Jürgen doesn't think. We'll get these back to Anfield 4 days before we play United in the Cup as well, where there's no travel involved. I'm quite comfortable whatever the score is, provided it's not like a huge outlier.
Yeah, not much seems unassailable, does it? Let's put it that way. Particularly when you take into the fact that we could be even stronger by this time then, when the second leg comes around, because hopefully, all being well, we've got some more minutes into some key legs. Salah's come through these next couple of games without any problems. So yeah, I don't think there is a situation realistically whereby Liverpool are out with a tie by the end of the first leg. I said earlier, it'd be nice not to have to chase the game, and I still stand by that. But yeah, I don't think it's game over in Sparta Prague's favour after this one. Hope they aren't famous last words, of course. But yeah, I think, and that again, that's a testament to just how impressive these fringe players have been in recent times. You can obviously factor in Kostas Tsimikas into that, but the likes of Bobby Clark, the likes of Drell Quanta, we've all just put them in our starting 11 essentially for all intents and purposes. Yeah. And they're not even, Quanta might be nearly 15 games into his first team career now for Liverpool, and Bobby Clark's played a handful of games, mostly from the bench. So the fact that they've come in and done so well and been so impressive, and the fact that we are sending them potentially into a bit of a bear pit, a difficult atmosphere away at Sparta Prague in the European tie, and we're not overly concerned, is just showcases how good they've been. But yeah, I think Liverpool, by and large, with the team we've just loosely named there, will fancy their chances of going there and definitely getting the result, I think it's fair to say. And I even back that team to win the game, if truth be told. And that's no disrespect to Sparta Prague, will be no mugs. And as I mentioned earlier, the dynamic of going somewhere like that against a team is so used to winning, they will be confident. And ultimately, you know, again, all due respect, it's the biggest game of some of these lads' lives. Certainly the Anfield leg will be. They'll be relishing the fact they're going to play Anfield next week. So they're going to be a stern test, but it's not a stern test that I don't back whatever Liverpool team put out to get through.
In the group stages, for clarity, they beat Betis at home. They drew with Rangers 0-0 at home. And they beat Limassol at home. And then obviously, they beat Galatasaray at home. So the home form is the key for them.
But they finished second behind Rangers in that group, I mightn't say.
Yeah.
And we've seen what we did to Rangers last year.
They got beat by Rangers away and they drew with them at home.
Yeah. And again, it's not sort of like for like, it's not potato potato, but Rangers, and we played Rangers, and we weren't anywhere near at our full tilt last season, and we demolished them.
You'd fancy a team with Kwanzaa, etc., to beat Rangers probably, or, yes, you know. I wonder what the atmosphere is going to be like, because
at their gaff, intense.
Well,
I saw some clips of the derby the other day. It was feisty.
There's hatred in that derby. There'll be less hatred, I imagine, but it'll be still something.
And the away fans are having a ball. I've got some mates who are in Prague already, and I can promise now they are having the time of their life.
I've got this idea of this like party atmosphere, and everyone's clinking steins together, and we just love football and all that. But then, like
in the stadium, it's not that.
When you get it going, you go to Red Star the other year where we lost, it's a bear pit and it's horrible. And you know, I don't know if they're going to make it horrible, or
I think they will.
So that might have something to do with it.
Before we get a little score prediction and a little what we think's going to happen, just a quick look around the rest of the Europa League games. There's a game tonight, Wednesday, obviously Sporting via Atalanta. That's because Sporting and Benfica were both drawn at home. Interesting tie, Dan. Sporting flying, one of the most informed teams in Europe. Atalanta having a bit of an up and down season, like they tend to do. They're an enigma, but
wild
side. I mean, you're looking at next Liverpool managers. Obviously, Alonso's the favourite, but the Sporting manager might be the next one on the list. So that's an interesting one to have a little look at tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Ruben Amorim is certainly seems to be the second favourite for the Liverpool soon to be vacant post, doesn't he? So yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on. I think I imagine goals. Every time I think of Atalanta, I just think they're just free scoring, but they also concede an absolute truckload as well. That's how it feels. So yeah, definitely an interesting one. I think in terms of like problems for Liverpool when it comes to winning the Europa League outright. And I know we need to get through this tie first, of course, but I think I'd put Sporting in amongst the favourites. Obviously, Bayer Leverkusen and us are sort of the standouts in the Premier League sides in and around that as well. But Sporting could pose a threat to our ambitions further down the line. So, yeah, definitely want to keep a close eye on.
Absolutely. Elsewhere, obviously, we play quarter six on Thursday. At the same time, Roma, Brighton's a big game for I mean, if, yeah. Brighton have gone from, you know, it wasn't that long ago, relatively speaking, where they were nearly not a football club anymore. Yeah. And the turnaround that they've done at that football club, now their reward is a glamour tie in Rome. Like, yeah. Good luck. I hope it goes well.
It's a great draw. They might get knocked out, but if you're a Brighton fan, going away
careful.
To Roma.
Be careful.
Yeah,
big game that for them.
Like you say, I can remember probably less than 20 years ago seeing them on FA Cup or whatever, and one end of the ground was like a car park, and you know, so it's a good, really good example of a well-run club who've built. I don't want to get into cartel Sly Six debates here, but they've sold players, then they've replaced them with other good players. I'm really pleased. I thought they were going to struggle in that group, especially they lost the first group game, didn't they? And they've, you know, so they've, stick together, Brighton fans.
They won that group, never mind, not just go through it.
Yeah, they did well.
But in terms, you know, it's a you could have drawn Carabag again, no disrespect to Carabag.
Oh, no, disrespect them. No, watching from Carabag, I think we're fine.
I saw it Azerbaijani.
I look at the numbers, it's not great. But
it's not great now, got massive.
We're huge in Tajikistan.
Less so in Azerbaijan.
They prefer other outlets.
Disrespect
them all you want. speaking of Carabag, they play Leverkusen again. It looks like Leverkusen are going to fly through that one, and you'd think. Marseille, Villarreal, Benfica, Rangers, Freiburg, West Ham again for the third time already this season. They've already played through a couple of times. And then Milan versus Slavia Prague, obviously. There's a potential if you
Decent teams there.
Well, don't want to look too far ahead, but there's a world where it's Sporting, Liverpool, one of Roma or Brighton, Leverkusen, probably Villarreal, but Marseille.
It's quite a Champions League feel to some of those names, isn't it?
It's
Milan get through as well, you know.
You could get Milan, Benfica, Leverkusen, Villarreal, Liverpool, Sporting, Roma.
Some good clubs, some European pedigree in amongst that as well, I'd say, certainly from Milan, as you mentioned, and there's some recent sort of latter stages of the Champions League pedigree in amongst that as well. So, yeah, I don't think there's much scope, and I kind of hope I'm wrong in this, of course, for any giant killings at this stage of the competition. It'd be nice if, you know, some of the bigger guns did get knocked out. Obviously, that would make our path to the final a little bit easier, I think it's fair to say. But yeah, there's some good sides in amongst that. There's some good clubs in amongst that. There's a lot of teams there doing well domestically. So Liverpool are not going to have it easy. You're not going to have it all our own way. And when you get to a business end of any competition, you don't expect that, of course, you don't. So I think whoever sort of qualifies will remain heavy favourites. By Leverkusen, to me, they're the ones. They beat around the bush all we want about our Marseille and Villa, whatever. By Leverkusen, the ones. They're the ones who everyone's got the buy in. I think
they're second favourites,
and by some distance, I imagine as well. I think avoiding them, or ideally them going out, to be honest, prior to Dublin is the best possible way of us going about it.
Might be better getting them over two legs, to be honest with you. You might be better getting them in a semi than a final. Trying to get them back again and using Anfield as a factor in that. But Liverpool have got to get through Prague as well before that happens. Right there, guys, thanks very much for joining us for this one. If you want even more build up to Slavia Prague versus Liverpool, we spoke to Patrick Berger. Spoke to former Liverpool and Sparta Prague star Patrick Berger. That is available right now over on redmenplus.com. If you want to sign up today in honour of Darwin Nunes being an absolute superstar at the weekend, if you join Redmen Plus as a monthly captain subscriber using the promo code Nunes, you'll get your first month for just 99p. Did you get it, Jay? 99p.
You don't have to do the N with the little thing on the top now.
No, 99p, 99 minutes. I reckon that's good marketing from me. 99p.
I don't think the penny's quite dropped yet.
No, it has. I'm just playing the fool.
No, you don't need to do the squiggles on the Nunes. We're going to go
shouldn't have been 99p though. It should have been finished in 98p. Yeah, shouldn't
98.3. If Paul Turney just bounced the ball in the right place, this offer wouldn't even exist right now. True, but that's what it is. Yeah, so if you want to go check out Patrick Berger, the line of the interview without spoiling, well, I'll give you this line from the interview. Dan, you asked him what's the best thing about Prague.
Yeah, basically, what can Liverpool fans expect from the city of Prague and stuff like that? And feel free to deliver his answer because it was gold.
You tell him, go on.
He said, beautiful women, cheap booze, and good weather. And I think ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, so there you go. That's why go get Patrick Berger's insight in Prague. He seems to be having a great time as well over there. So fill your boost. That is available at redmenplus.com. Jamie mentioned it very, very briefly before, but for the game itself, we'll be live with the Redmen TV Watch on the YouTube channel as well. Live with the build-up show at 4:25, which is a crazy time to be going live. And then, of course, the game kicks off at 5:45 UK time. So from about 5:30 UK time, we'll be live with the watch along as well. So do go and join that, go and check out all the amazing content over on Red Men Plus. Thanks to Jamie, thanks to Dan, thanks to all you guys for listening or for watching to this one, and we'll see you all soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.